And welcome to Tech Chat number 37 for October 15, 2009. This is Michael Loff, and tonight's topic is our favorite iPhone applications. And I'm going to bring our panel of iPhone users on live now. We have Steve Sawson of the AT Show and ATmain.com. Thanks for joining us tonight, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Holly Anderson, the provocateur of the accessible iPhone apps list with over 100 in all kinds of categories. You name it, they have got it covered over there. Thanks, Holly, for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Also, Darcy Bernard is with us.
Hi.
Jesse Hernandez in Miami, Florida.
Hey, hello, folks.
Next Thursday, the 22nd, it's the official launch of Windows 7. So what we're going to do is highlight some things that users should know, some initial things, configuration when you're getting a brand new system. Also, some things under the hood. There's a lot of configuration options and special features that I'll say they're not documented, but you have to go out and search the internet before you really find these little gems, and they may make the difference of if it's actually worth that upgrade to you. But we'll be doing that next Thursday. On October 29th, it's Twitter 101. And again, I think we'll probably get some kind of roundtable discussion going on. We'll compare the two Windows apps. We'll try to find some people who have used both McTwit and Quitter. We'll also talk about Syrinx, the option for the Macintosh, which is absolutely rocks. OutTwit for those who like to use Outlook. We have Tweakini for those in the Windows mobile format. But also we're going to talk about some of the great resources online where you can actually find content, because what benefit is it if you can't find the great things to follow? So whether you want to follow your friends or maybe just different news services, we'll talk about that in Twitter 101 on October 29th. As always, you can give us suggestions for future show ideas, maybe possible guests. We'd like to hear from you. Resources at serotalk.com would be the resource for that. First, I think I want to mention again, if you have not done so, it's been out for 1 week. And I'll ask the four of you here, are you using our new iBlink radio application?
I am.
Yeah, I think we're up to almost 1,000 downloads now, so we're very excited about it. It is free of charge. We hope that you will try it out. It includes radio stations programmed and run by blind individuals. We have podcasts particular to access technology, and a few others, cooking and all kinds of good stuff. Radio reading services with USA Today and New York Times, Wall Street Journal magazines. So by all means, check out iBlink Radio. And Darcy, you mentioned something today. I hadn't followed the news, but there's been a new development that I think is very cool. One of the biggest problems that we have, at least in the past, we could not try out applications first to see if they were going to be accessible before laying our money down. And the App Store, Apple, they really don't like doing refunds. They kind of feel like that's between you and the developer of the application. So tell us, there's been a development today that's going to actually maybe have trial periods so people can see if they like the apps.
They've just today apparently changed their policy, like their terms of service between them and their developers. In the past, starting with, I believe, 3.0 of the software, they've had what they call in-app purchasing. You know, you buy a program, you can buy more, you know, enhanced features or whatever. But that in-app purchasing was only available for paid apps. It wasn't available for free apps. So a lot of times what you got was developers would release two different versions of their software. They'd have a free version or a light version, and then they'd have the full version. You'd buy the free version. If you liked it, you'd go ahead and buy the other one. But now they're offering this whole in-app purchasing for free apps, which I think has a lot of advantages, especially for accessibility, because what we've seen is there have been apps in the past where the free version was not accessible and the paid version was, and vice versa. Now there'll be just one app. It'll be easier for developers to manage. Holly and I are going to have to go in and update the apps list.
Holly, I want to talk to you a minute. You do a lot of hard work in creating your list, which can be found at maxcessibility.net/iPhone/apps. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the URL is up on the screen. So talk about how you put that together and where your resources come from.
Well, the resources are mainly the community. People will email me or talk to me on Twitter and tell me apps that work, and then I go and find the application and the link and put it up on the site and select the category and that sort of thing. And mainly it's just from the community. I've added a few since I got my iPod Touch a few weeks ago. I've been able to add a few, but mainly it comes from everyone in the community. So it's a community effort, really. People let me know when the apps are accessible.
So it's interesting. You did this initially without having an iPhone, just based on people, I guess, mainly on the email list and some other resources that just said, hey, this app's workable, I'm using it, and compiled the list. And now you can actually try them out.
I wanted to do something because I was really excited about the iPhone coming out, and I couldn't get one for various reasons, and I was like, well, I want to participate in some way, you know, make it a little easier on myself since I can't actually have an iPhone, and that's what I decided to do, is make the list, because everyone else was so busy playing, I wasn't doing anything, so I decided to make the list then.
How did you come up with the categories?
Josh DeLancourt, who runs the site, kind of helped come up with some of those categories. As, you know, we found more applications, they grew. People would give me an application, and if it didn't fit in any of the existing categories, then I would just add another category.
Well, I want to go through some of our favorite apps, but one that everybody that I've talked to has mentioned, Steve Woolley with Utunes. He has made efforts to make this iPhone radio app accessible, and I hope it's paying off for him. A lot of people have been raving about it. It seems to be one of the number one apps that's mentioned. I mean, there's just so many cool features. 14,000 stations. You can search by genre, by country, by city. It's got the radio roulette, so you can just scroll through a list of songs. When you hear one you like, it jumps to that radio station. It's got a cool sleep timer that I use, so I have it turn off after 30 minutes. A feature, I think Scott Rakowski had asked for a way to stop the audio, so he tried a couple different things and came up with a method where if you go into the settings, you can turn on this option so you can shake the phone and stop the audio, which is great if you have a station that's so loud that comes on and actually overpowers voiceover. It's an awesome app, worth every bit of the $5. He's made real efforts to make it accessible. 2.6, can't say enough about it. It's an awesome program. You won't go wrong with it.
It really is. Definitely is worth the price. It's nice to pay that price to a developer who is interested in accessibility and is really responsive.
Yeah, he's really receptive to suggestions, too, because I had an incident the other day on Twitter where I was chatting with another person who had Wonder Radio, another app, and I was a specific radio station I was looking for wasn't in iTunes as far as I could tell, and I said it was in Wonder Radio, and I said that on Twitter I was searching through iTunes to find it, and he wrote me back on Twitter and asked me for the website, and within 5 minutes he'd added the stream and it worked. It was really awesome.
So check it out, folks. It's a great program. He also has, it's a little more expensive, it's $20, but you can actually buy an app from him that will allow you to remotely access all the music on either your PC or the Mac. And so if you just have thousands of songs, or even you just want to listen to the radio stations that iTunes offers, you can do that through his app that lets you remote into your own machine. Support the man. He's doing great work. He's in graduate school and feeding the family and writing some great software. So hats off to you, Steve. We'll hope to get him on for an interview. But let me go through some of these that each of you have specifically mentioned. And I'll start with you, Holly. You mentioned three. And of course, one of them was Utunes. So we'll talk about your choice of Twitterific because there's three options out there. You got Twitterlater Pro, you got Twitterific, and Twittero. So I'm going to start with you and why you like Twitterific over the other two.
I have to say I haven't tried Twitterlater Pro because it costs, and I started with Twittero, and the thing that I didn't like at all about Twittero was the timestamp in the middle, and that really irritated me because it just slowed me down considerably. And then the other thing I really didn't like was it only loads 20 at a time. I have a lot of followers, and so 20 is nothing. You can always load more. With Twitterific, the thing I liked was, of course, I was a little bit familiar with it because I'd used it on the Mac. It loads 100 at a time, or you can have it load less or more. And it starts at the bottom of the list instead of the top, which some people may like, and you can change that as well. There are a couple of things with it. It's kind of a trick to set up. There's a button in the top right-hand corner that you got to double tap twice to get into the right view. And then the buttons across the bottom are not labeled, but it's easy enough to get the one you want. The second one from the left is the compose button, and the first one is the refresh button. And so once you realize the layout, it's really easy to use, and it has a lot of features. You can see conversations, you can retweet. It has a lot of features, and its interface is nice once you get the hang of it.
Well, very good. What about the clock radio app that you mentioned? I haven't tried that one.
I had a clock radio, and I wanted one that I could use my iPod with, because it has that nice thing where you can press the button to get the time since 3.1. And I really wanted a clock radio, and I was looking through the App Store. I found a couple, and this one was really cool because it has a lot of different streams. And I actually talked to the developer, and mostly it's accessible. There's a clock on the front of it when you have the app running. That doesn't seem to work, but I have talked to him, and he said he's going to add accessibility. I just really was looking for a cool clock radio, and this one had a lot of choices. I would love it if iTunes had an alarm. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think he's just afraid that if it doesn't work, he'll get a lot of complaints. Darcy, let's look at your three apps here. One that I like, but I have not played with the iPhone version of it. I played with the PC and the Mac, and the Mac works great, is this Ziz, P-Z-I-Z-Z. Talk about it.
Well, I've been using it for a long time now. I've been using it for 3 years. It's nice if you just find yourself, in the middle of the day, you just need a quick nap. It gives these kind of relaxing soundtracks, and every time you run it, it's slightly different. I find it works. I find after I use it, I get re-energized. The problem was, what I would often do is I would generate a whole bunch of them and then put them on my iPod. That was fine, except that there'd be some time where I wanted to do that and I was out of them, because you're only supposed to use them once, they say in the instructions. The iPhone app is really nice because you select the duration and a few other settings and it just goes. There is a problem with the little slider thing where you select the time that doesn't appear to update, so you kind of have to go out and go back in again. If you do the same length of time all the time, that's not a big deal. The really nice thing about the iPhone and iPod Touch version of Pazzizz is the price. It's only $299, which is much cheaper than the PC or Mac version.
Oh, so you don't need to have the other version.
No, all the audio is on the iPod. You don't need the PC or Mac. I would almost recommend trying it for that price. Because
It's worth it, folks, but you're right. If you just really had a bad night, you didn't sleep, or you're just really fatigued, you can stop, take a 20, 30-minute power nap. They really don't recommend going over 30 from what I read. Man, you're refreshed, you're ready to go, you hit the ground running. You more than make up the time because you come back and you're alert, you're on your game.
Now the one thing I wish they did, and I think it's coming from what I've heard, is they have a sleep version as well on the PC and Mac that you can put on before you go to bed, and it relaxes you. And I really like that, and hopefully they come up with an iPhone version of that as well.
Moxie.
Moxie is a word game. It's a lot of fun. Great if you've got a few minutes to kill. It's a great little word game. It doesn't take very long to play it. When we did our podcast, our accessibility podcast yesterday, Eric Troop described it as a cross between Scrabble and Solitaire. It's almost the kind of thing you have to try it to get it. The idea is to just make words, and then you get more letters, and you have to, make other words, and you get points. There's a free version, and then there's the paid version is 99 cents. As far as I can tell, the only real difference is there's a scoreboard at the end. Definitely try it. It's a very addicting little game.
Airfoil speakers touch.
For any of you listeners who are Mac users, and if you do anything with audio, you probably used some of the Rogue Amoeba software. They do Audio Hijack Pro and Airfoil and all that stuff. Well, Airfoil is a program that will stream any audio that the Mac can produce. It can stream it to an Airport Express, which is a little box you can plug into a stereo, and it works over Wi-Fi, and you can stream audio to it. It looks like another set of speakers. If you have Airfoil on your Mac, or I think, there is a PC version. I don't know what its accessibility is like. You can stream any audio from your computer to your iPods. There are situations where, maybe you have music on your computer that you don't have on your iPod. You can stream iTunes to it, or you can stream maybe the audio from a DVD. Just anything your computer can play, you can stream to Airfoil. You do have to own Airfoil, which I think is $25, but the actual iPhone app, the Airfoil Speakers Touch, is free.
Steve, you mentioned a few apps to me. One of the first ones I saw you raving about on Twitter the other day is called Boxcar.
I love Boxcar. The iPhone and iPod Touch have an ability, something called push notifications. A notification or an alert can be pushed to your device from some Apple server in the cloud somewhere. And as such, you don't have to leave programs running. You can close the program and a notification will be pushed to the device. What Boxcar is it's an application. You buy it. I don't remember the exact price, but it's under $5. You can get your at mentions and direct messages from Twitter pushed to your device. And that's fantastic. You can then read them either within Boxcar or launch a Twitter application and read them there.
It doesn't support all the Twitter apps, right?
It doesn't support all. It does do Twitterific, Twitterlater Pro, Tweety. There's about six of them, I believe, that it supports. But it doesn't do Voice Tweety. It doesn't do Tweetaro. But again, you can read right within the application if you want, and that's accessible. The new thing, though, that it does is that you can purchase for an additional $1.99 search queries. So let's say, for example, I want to follow Sarotalk and have pushed to my device whenever Sarotalk posts something. So for $1.99, I can give it the search query Sarotalk, and whenever something comes across the public timeline, it will automatically push that.
So it's $1.99 per query?
Per query.
Now there's someone with a business model.
And it's instant because they're whitelisted with Twitter, so they're scanning the public timeline. They're not using my API calls. The minute it happens, I get notified, oftentimes before I even see it in my Twitter client, which has to refresh every 3 minutes or so. $1.99 per query, and it's fully customizable. If Michael, if you were to go crazy and start posting all sorts of stuff and I'm in a meeting or whatever, I can toggle that off, not have to repay. If you are not a Twitter user, or if you're a Facebook user, for $1.99, you can also get your Facebook notifications pushed. A lot of customizability with it and a lot of flexibility with it. Really, really neat app. Very, very accessible. The developer is very, very responsive to accessibility concerns. Many of them have been addressed already. They're actively looking for any other issues that they can improve. So really, really excited about the developer as well.
Okay, now the other two that you mentioned are news-based applications. BNO, that's Bravo November Oscar News. Again, a push-based news app.
It's push-based news. I don't know what BNO stands for. Breaking news stories get pushed to the device. They show up as an alert, and you can dismiss it. There's not even a link, though, to read additional information or anything like that. It's just the headline. I don't remember what the price of it is. They're going to also go to a monthly-based subscription model, which is going to be 99 cents a month. There'll be a free version of the app, which will give you headline news, and then for 99 cents a month, they will give you the ability to get different types of news, and I don't know what that means, and they're a bit vague on it. I don't know if it's specific queries or if you can customize, you know, like you want sports news or you want politics or Middle East news, that sort of stuff. The push notifications are very, very timely. I think it's just fantastic. Also, it too can be toggled on and off. So if you don't want it on, or if you want it to not push anything between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., you know, so you can get some sleep, you can configure it that way as well.
Okay, so let's talk about AP Mobile. This is one I've turned quite a few folks on. It doesn't seem to read the news stories as well as it used to, so I may pull one of my older ones out of the archives. Very configurable, and you can get local news and information, specific sporting news. So if you're into baseball but not football, or hockey but not basketball, you can get very specific with it, even get some weather updates and your local and state news.
I just started, and it's your fault.
Now, both you and Jesse mentioned a game called Soul Trapper. What is the gist of this game?
It's an interactive choose-your-own-storybook or adventure with audio dramatization, really good audio, Ghostbusters on steroids. It involves ghosts and things of that nature. It's a really cool game.
Kind of like the Babysoft games like Chillingham or Grizzly Gulch. It's that sort of style. Like, you'll get a description of what's around you, and you have four buttons on the screen, and it'll say, like, to my right is, you know, the door. And to my left is the phone. And, like, if you hit the right button, it'll go to the door. Or if you hit the left button, he'll go answer the phone if it's ringing. It sort of gives you a landscape, and you have these four directional buttons. And then sometimes you have to fire or shoot something, and then you'll hear the sound off to your right or off to your left, and you hit the corresponding correct button and hit the target.
And do these have, like, beginner, intermediate, advanced levels?
Well, no, it's a story, so you go through each chapter. Like, there's, like, what is it, 24 or 23?
23 chapters.
23 chapters, so each one gets progressively harder.
There's only one issue with it, and that's kind of difficult, is there's one chapter where it's really hard to hit the buttons as fast as you need to be hitting them, and I found it necessary to put tactile, like, I use rubber bands to put a tactile surface on the phone so I could hit the buttons really fast. But that was the only time that I really needed to do that. After that specific scene, it was back to the ease of use and voiceover, and so.
Oh, it's just one scene, okay.
It was just one scene, yeah.
Hey, maybe we can make game skins.
There's definitely a market there, I'm sure.
I just read about one today. I'm going to have to try. I don't even know if this thing's going to be accessible or not. Zoozbeat, Zoozbeat. There was a story at CNN.com, these people making music with their iPhone. Basically take a song and kind of make your own beats and alter it, and people were making their own songs, and there's gestures because of the accelerometer. You know, you can make different music. Look through some of the ones that I document. There's so many, we can never cover all of them, and we'll open up the question lines here very shortly. First, on the radio apps, Wonder Radio, W-U-N-D-E-R Radio. Cool program because you've got the NOAA weather stations in there. You've got, I think, Shoutcast, police scanners, and a lot of different categories of content. I think it's worth the $5. It's pretty cool. Another one that I like, I think it was only 99 cents. I think Jesse bought it, called Emergency Radio. That's a very useful app.
That one's awesome. Yeah, it's really, really informative.
Because you just kind of pan out from your local area, or you can go to a particular area of the country and listen to emergency weather, listen to your local police, fire, and emergency medical services, and especially living here in Miami, where probably at least once a year you have a hurricane scare or something.
Yeah. I was listening when the space shuttle was taking off. I got to actually hear the ground control from KSE.
There's an app specifically called Sports Radio. So if you just want an app, I think it's $1.99. It puts all of these sports stations, and I think they have some play-by-play. I don't know if they're just stations that just forget to mute the audio or something. It has had some pretty good reviews, so if you want something, it just puts all of the sports stations in one place. Sports Radio, certainly an app to look at. On the audio front, Audiobook Player, very interesting because what you have is 3,000 books that are recorded at LibriVox.com. So these are with volunteer narrators, but they do have some standard. It's not like some of the stuff you might hear at RFB&D, no offense. No one's going to like every reader, but generally the quality was pretty good. So you got 3,000 books, you can get a chapter, and then if you like it, you can retrieve the whole book. Worth a couple bucks for it just to get the content. 30 different categories, you know, biographies and fiction and sci-fi, and just all kinds of cool stuff. So if you want books on your iPhone, that's certainly one to give a play with. Shazam, I know it's got some accessibility issues, but a lot of people like it for kind of finding what they're listening to.
I used it a couple days ago. I was at a restaurant. They were playing some weird music. I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. What is that? Pulled out my iPhone, went to Shazam, tag it, waited till the little thing vibrated, So I could have just gone to iTunes and just bought the album.
Are any of you blogging on your iPhones? Because that seems like it'd be a little tedious, you know, with the touchscreen keypad. But I just downloaded today an app for WordPress, and it looks pretty powerful. But are any of you doing that?
One of the blogging systems I've recently been playing around with and really like is Tumblr, tumblr.com. And they have an iPhone app which isn't totally accessible, which is unfortunate because it allows you to post either text, photos, voice recordings to the associated Tumblr blog. So it'd be really, really neat if that would work. It only sort of works.
The phone, this is very exciting that AT&T, for whatever reason, probably a little prompting from the FCC, but they're going to open up the ability to do voice over IP on the 3G network. So one app that I've used for reasons to access Skype is called Nimbuzz, but someone called me on Skype the other day. There's still some issues with accessing the contacts, and some rumors went around that they're working on that, and maybe that'll be doable very soon. But are any of you doing any voice over IP on your phones?
Using Skype to make regular phone calls with, it's just almost there. It's just almost perfectly accessible except for the actual viewing of the contacts. But I mean, if you want to make phone calls with it, if you have the Skype out plan, that works really well. The sound quality is really good.
And you said you have a touch.
If you're in an area where there's Wi-Fi, you can certainly make phone calls. It sounds really good. Now, the iPod Touch does not have a built-in microphone, so you'll have to use, you know, the included earbuds, or you'll have to use some sort of headphones with a microphone. It does work really well.
This voice Tweety.
You can use it as a normal text Twitter client, or here's the cool part, if you have a account with Twaud, TWAUD.io, you can post voice recordings, links over to Twitter, and they can listen to them.
So they're audio files, I think up to 10 meg, 20 minutes of audio. Are any of you are using the mobile navigator, Navigon product?
I've used it a little bit. I haven't used it a lot while walking, but I have used it being driven directions and that sort of stuff.
It seems to do better in that venue right now. It still really is not what I would call totally pedestrian friendly because it's taking you on vehicle routes, but you do have some turn-by-turn now and some points of interest. I've done two upgrades since it's come out.
It reads street names now, too, which
yes.
is fantastic. You used to just say,
awesome.
Turn left here.
Around me. How many of you use that? Restaurants, you're somewhere you want to know what restaurants, particular types of business, you can do searches. Need a coffee shop, need you a little fix, whatever. Need to go buy you some blinds, whatever. Great app. Voice Compass. I don't know if any of you are using this. Your phone gets very specific. It'll tell you north, northeast, south. Point is, if you're traveling through a big parking lot or something where you could come out anywhere. I mean, you could literally, if you weren't careful, get on a totally different street because the lot is so large. This is great. It helps you keep your direction. Facebook. Now, there was an issue. It was great. They broke it. People got on the advocation wagon, and you got it turned around. The company was responsive and in a lot of ways easier to use than, say, even on Windows. Were any of you specifically involved communicating with Facebook to make that happen?
I was.
A lot of it happened on Twitter.
And people filled out the contact problems with accessibility forms, too, on the iPhone list.
I'll mention just a couple of news ones here real quick. You got the Huffington Post, some interesting articles. They're also Mashable. Newspapers, an index of all the newspapers by state. So if you want to find your local newspaper and then read it through Safari, give some tips for advocating for accessibility.
I think the big thing to keep in mind is that for many developers, the fact that this device is accessible is new. And although it's very, very frustrating when an application isn't accessible, the developer might not know that blind folks are using the iPhone or iPod Touch yet. Oftentimes, they're excited that this is happening, that's new, but there's also a learning curve for them because they have to now go back and possibly rewrite something or rethink something. Oftentimes, they rise to the challenge, and that's fantastic. I think it's very, very important that if an application isn't accessible, it's approached in a nice way. I'm trying to use your application, and this isn't working, versus a real aggressive, this is broken, it doesn't work, which is only going to push the developer further away, I think.
Resources on the developer website they can find. One of the things that we've seen on the Mac for the last few years now, and now we're seeing on the iPhone, is the group that it seems to be really responsive to this are these small independent developers. Look at Utoon's gone to lengths to make it accessible, and we've all been talking about it on Twitter, has made him quite a bit of sales. And to a small developer, that's going to be a lot more significant than to a larger one.
I've mentioned on Twitter that something's not accessible and had people respond and say, we're working on it. You know, even if you just mention the application on Twitter, and people will respond, has been my experience.
I was playing with an app called ITV, which is a really good listings app, and I downloaded an update one day, and I'm like, uh-oh, this doesn't work. So I went on Twitter, I put, I'm not able to use this anymore. And I get a tweet back from ITV, a direct message, no less, with, sir, we need your phone number because we have to talk. So I called up the guy. Turns out it was the marketing director for the company. They are working on a fix for it.
The blind community is a viable market, and if they're not going to do it for goodwill reasons, that they see it will lead to some revenue for them, that some people will buy the apps once they're usable. I'm going to enable the text questions, so let's look through these questions and see what we've got here. The first one, Buddy Boxcar only reads the name of the person who sends you the message. The only way you can read the notification is right when they're pushed, and I think that's important with all the push apps. If you're not there on your phone right when it comes in, you kind of miss that. If you're going to use push, you might as well make sure that that you're there to receive it.
My name is Jess. Just out of curiosity, about the Z's program, is it possible to vary the volume levels of each of the individual elements?
It's not that specific. Okay, Buddy Brandon writes and says, loves ping pong too, and it's free. But are you playing the ping pong game? I'm kind of worried about swinging my phone around. Jeffrey Stark says, can't do a podcast on iPhone apps without mentioning ping pong. So a lot of folks do like it. Ricky Inger, another one to play in public. What's it called? The Ocarina app where you actually blow into the... use your phone as a flute. So use your fingers. Interesting. Yeah, there were some YouTube videos playing the flute via her phone. And that's what this Zoos beat they were talking about as well. Buddy Brandon's still looking for a case. We're going to have someone on the next podcast from Otterbox, OTTERBOX. They have two different cases that are pretty cool. One is like kind of a heavier rubber material that's on the back and the sides of the phone, and then something a little lighter on the top so you can still use the screen. So we'll be speaking with them. They're headquartered in Colorado, and they have two different units, and Mike Calvo has at least one of them. Okay, Robert says, Audio Boo is a great app. You can record audio up to, I believe, 5 minutes and share it with other folks who have the app. It is free.
There's another cool one that I've tried called 1001 Ringtones. The pro version lets you hear the whole entire ringtone.
Jeffrey writes that specials today let you know of restaurant specials going on around you. That's cool. I'll have to definitely take a look at that one. Ooh, all you can eat chicken. I'm there. I'm feeling it.
Is there too many apps where on your iPhone or iPod Touch, is it that you have too many pages of applications that you'll forget what you have on the iPhone or iPod Touch?
Are there too many apps? Well, I mean, your phone itself, you can put, what is it, 15? Or I don't know, maybe it's not even 15 per page, and you can have 11 pages, and you can 16. Even go beyond that.
16 per page. It's a 4x4 grid. The way it works in the Touch is you've got your 4x4 grid, and then you have at least what a lot of us are calling the dock, which are like the four items that are on every page. That's a question that we ask all the time when we do the apps. I guess people are buying them.
I guess to answer Steve's question, it kind of depends on what you're interested in. Hopefully this trial period thing is going to really take off so that you can try these apps. And my son pointed out to me that there's a lot of crap out there.
There is.
There's just a lot of junk.
We asked about this on Twitter and it was kind of divided. We kind of stopped putting things like the novelty apps, you know, that just play sounds when you push different buttons, or they're either going to work or they're not. And most of them are free, so you can just try them. There are a lot of good ones. There's a lot of crap. Like with anything, you could say the same thing on Windows or on the Mac.
I mean, are there apps that can corrupt the functionality of your phone?
I think Apple's trying to prevent that because pretty much everything runs in its own little sandbox. That's, I think, the reason they give why it can't multitask. Apps are very isolated. They can only deal with their own data. They can't really touch the rest of the system. That's why they have the push notification, so they can do things kind of outside of their own little space.
I was just going to quickly mention the two news apps. One is Metro, and it's for all the major cities in Canada. It's the equivalent of an RSS reader. It's the free newspaper that everybody else could just pick up at the side of the road. You can just grab that app and get the same content on your iPhone. The other app was News Canada, which allows you to pick Canadian content.
Okay, so one's called Metro and one's called News Canada. Two great apps for our Canadian audience to get content. And I guess there's a CBC app as well if you want to go through the radio.
And that's available everywhere. That's actually one thing worth noting for some of your listeners who may not be in the United States. The iTunes Store apps can sometimes be specific to a certain country. So when we do the apps list, we have to check. I know the CBC app is available in the U.S. as well as Canada.
And the same issue with radio stations where they may only work in their respective country, like only in the U.S. or only in the U.K. or Canada.
For example, the iHeartRadio app, which I believe gives you in the States access to the clear channel stations. We can't get that in Canada.
Join us next week for Windows 7 if you're interested in that. And the 29th, I hope I get people to join us for Twitter 101. Hopefully those of you who are thinking about it and just kind of afraid to dive in or have no clue what it is will join us. And those with the expertise will come and share your knowledge. I especially want to find out the cool people and entities and businesses and organizations that you're following. Because to me, it is like the ultimate resource for news and finding out what's going on. So with that, we're going to put the wraps on it. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.